Okay, begin by letting you know that this study is actually a number of us at the University of Kentucky at a College of Public Health worked on this study, so I may be the lead author for this presentation, but Dr. Richard Crosby was the PI for the study. He is here with us, and then a number of other people in southeastern Kentucky. The University of Kentucky is in Lexington in the central part of the state, but our research occurs in the Appalachian counties in the southeastern part of the state. Okay, I have to put our disclaimers out there. I have nothing to disclose, but Dr. Crosby has actually been a consultant, a paid consultant for Merck Pharmaceuticals in the past, so we want to make you aware of that. And our center, which is a rural, the center for, excuse me, I went blank here. Our prevention research center is funded by the Center for Disease Control through that program. Our center is the Rural Cancer Prevention Center, which you will see in this slide. If you take a look, let's see if I can get arrows to work on this. There we go. Okay. As I said, we are a part of the Prevention Research Centers, one of the 37 funded sites in the country. Our center is called the Rural Cancer Prevention Center, which is a collaborative of local service providers, community agents, as well as researchers at the university. And this is the area where we actually conduct our research, the southeastern corner of the state. If you are familiar with the Appalachian Regional Commission, you will know that the Appalachian chain stretches from upstate New York all the way down to Mississippi. And at one, not that long ago, 25 years ago, that entire region was classified as a distressed area. Some of the poorest counties in the United States are found in the Appalachian Mountain chain. As of today, most of those counties have seen positive change, and they're no longer classified as distressed counties. However, this area is still one of the most distressed areas in the United States. In fact, four out of these eight counties that we work with list as within the top 10 poorest counties in the United States. Okay. So what were we doing there? We actually had a research study going on with women, young women. And through that research, we actually got a question from a lot of those young women about their male sex partners, their boyfriends, their husbands. So that led us to thinking about how HPV actually affects these men. And of course, you look at the slide and you can see that HPV is associated with these types of cancers in men. And when you mention penile cancer to young men in Appalachian, Kentucky, you have their attention. So it's very, very easy to start the conversation about HPV and the HPV vaccine when you mention that there is a connection between HPV infection and penile cancer. And as I get comfortable with the presentation that I'm doing and getting over being late, I will slide into the language that I normally speak every day. So if my accent becomes a problem, please let me know and I'll try to clarify that for you. Because I do say I'm bilingual. I speak English as well as hillbilly. But I will be happy to clarify if you misunderstand anything that I say. But anyway, we pointed out to young men, during the course of this study, we make men aware that, we actually found out that young men are quite aware that HPV is associated with these types of cancer. Okay, the recommendations for the HPV vaccine, as you know, started off with young women. We wanted young women vaccinated for the prevention of cervical cancer, and there wasn't that much consideration for the vaccine for young men. But as more and more studies brought it to light that young men could benefit from HPV vaccination as well, the recommendation changed so that, and that's a very general recommendation that I've written up there for you, but young men can be vaccinated as early as age 9 now. The full recommendation is age 11 and 12. For young men, the recommendation goes up to age 21, and then for those young men who have sex with other men, the recommendation goes all the way up to age 26. So any young man basically between the ages of 9 and 26, depending upon their particular situation, would be recommended for HPV vaccination. There are two vaccines available, Gardasil and Cervarix. However, Cervarix is not FDA approved for vaccination in men because that vaccine is specifically labeled for the prevention of cervical cancer. However, Gardasil is recommended for the prevention of genital warts. Another thing, if you want to get the attention of young men in Eastern Kentucky, start talking about genital warts and you will have their attention. So Gardasil is the vaccine that we would be providing to young men, of course, because that's a vaccine that's recommended for them, for young men. And again, type 6 and 11, the protection that you get from Gardasil against genital warts is a very good selling point for young men about this vaccine. Okay, the study, again, I told you this study was born from a study that we were doing with young women ages 18 to 26 and sort of that catch-up pool of women who the vaccine was not available for when they were at the ages that that the vaccine is recommended for. So we started this research project to see if these young women were willing to take the vaccine. And through that, the course of enrolling these women, they kept asking about their boyfriends or male sex partners. Should they be vaccinated as well? And our nurses working on the study was, well, they could, the science is that they could benefit from this. So these young women anecdotally started telling this, if you will vaccinate my boyfriend, I will get him here. So the question came, how much influence do these young women actually have over their male sex partners in terms of getting them to come in to get this vaccine? So that's the main point that we were looking at. And then here's some stats about the reception of the vaccine among young men is very, very low, but there's actually a greater intent when you ask young men if they would get the HPV vaccine. They indicate that yes, they would. So now how do we translate that? Yes, I would get the vaccine to I'm getting the vaccine. Okay. We partnered with a community college that actually has campuses in 5 of the 8 counties that we work in. And we asked that school if they would actually put out a flyer, make an announcement to all of their students via the email system for those students to let them know that we would have nurses on campus at a certain date that they could come as a couple with their girlfriend, we didn't define for them what a relationship actually meant. But they had to be in a relationship with a female that was a part of our study. The female could actually have been enrolled in the past or could be enrolling on the day that she brought the male partner with her. So they could both enroll at the same time, or one of them the male could be brought by a lady who had enrolled previously in the study. We were targeting 30 males to sign up for this, and in 2 days, one day at one campus, one day at a second campus, we enrolled 32 males into the study to receive vaccine number one, and then they completed a short survey when they got vaccine shot number one. And if we look at this, the relationship status, again, we didn't define this for them, but this is what they actually told us about their relationship. Then if you look at it here, some of them were sexually active, some of them were dating but not and sexually active. Some didn't consider themselves to be in a relationship that we would think of as leading to a sexual relationship. They considered themselves to be friends with the person that brought them. And if we go down a little bit lower, if we look at this slide, this section of the slide here, when we start looking at what the effect was of these young women, we see that only 5 of them actually, and this was a scale where they could pick make multiple selections as to what was the motivating factor for getting the vaccine. And you see that only 5 of those young men indicated that their female partners was actually the motivating factor to get the vaccine. And when we asked them to prioritize all the things that they had listed above, you'll see that only 1 of the 5 indicated that it was the top reason for them to actually receive the vaccine. So what we thought we would find, that these young women who were telling telling us they had some influence over these young men to get the vaccine was actually not the case. That these young men were actually getting vaccinated for a totally different reason. And if you look at these numbers down here, it will tell you that they were being vaccinated for their own self-protection. And if can compare, when you combine that with the knowledge questions, we can correlate that their self-protection was from genital warts. So these young men, they were aware that HPV causes genital warts, and that they were willing, when the vaccine was brought to them, to accept the vaccine in order to protect against genital warts. And here are some descriptions of the young men who were in the study. If you look at their sexual history, we had some individuals reported very much so that that all their sexual partners had been female. That and then a couple of indicated that they had both male and female partners, and we had two who actually reported that they had only male partners. And our nurses indicated when they were bringing the data to me that, well, we had two gay men or two homosexual men in the study, and I had to caution them and say, no, that may not be the case. It just may be at this point in time they've only had male partners, but we're not asking them to identify as either gay or homosexual, so we don't know that to be the case. It just indicates that they've had only male partners to that date. I was a little bit surprised that there was none of them reported that they had a diagnosis of an STD. And I was even more surprised with the number of partners being very realistic in terms of these young men as reporting how many sexual partners that they had had. I thought that that may be exaggerated, but looking at the numbers, it seems like to hold to a norm. Okay, and then one of the factors we thought may be, as we are told, we read the literature, healthcare providers making a recommendation to someone to have the HPV vaccine, we seem to be effective. But in this case, these young men did not report that that they had recommendations from their providers, but they did not prioritize that. I'd have to go back to the back, then the previous slide to let you see that. But they did not indicate that that was the number one reason that they were getting the vaccine. So although it may have some effect in this particular population, the recommendation from the provider was not necessarily the driving factor for getting the vaccine. But if you look at those young men who've had a physical that involved actually an examination of the genitals, you see a large number of them saying that they have actually never had, at least a third of these men say that they have never actually had a physical examination where that their genitals had been examined. And then at least almost another third of them saying it had been greater than 5 years since that they had had such an examination. Which, considering the population we were working with, that really does not amaze me, but at the same time, I think that it's a bit alarming. Okay, so here I'll repeat the things that we found for you. That most of these young men, they were knowledgeable about HPV causing genital warts. They were also knowledgeable that it caused cervical cancer. Their main concern for actually getting the vaccine was not because of the pressure of their female sex partners or their female relationship partners, but because they wish to protect themselves. And then if we want to do more work in regards of getting younger men, not necessarily the young men which the vaccine is approved for or recommended highly for now at ages 11 and 12, but older young men, does that make sense? Young men particularly in the age range of 18 to 26 or even 18 to 21, whether or not we want to get these young men to accept the vaccine, we should concentrate on the prevention of genital warts as a main factor to encourage them to get the vaccine. Okay, and you take questions now. Absolutely. I did not highlight that in the slide, but when the first of the the bars of the graphs that you had, we actually indicated how many sexual partners that they had had in the last, I think, 90 days. So we did actually ask them about the number of sexual partners that they had had. That's a much different question, because how many partners and how many times, totally different things. But no, we did not ask that. We were randomly asking the number of partners. We did see, though, from this study that the number of partners was one, overwhelmingly was one, which, again, surprises me. But at the same time, if it's only one partner, then the number of partners may not be as significant as it were with multiple partners, number of sexual encounters. Yeah, I agree, but I'm also thinking the more exposures to different people, the greater chance you're going to come into contact with one or multiple strains of the virus. But, yes. Yes.
When you get the your community colleges, who paid for the vaccine administration and the nurses that gave the vaccine itself?
Okay, these were all research dollars that we received from the Center for Disease Control to run our prevention research center. So all of those, all the money that we used to purchase vaccine, to pay the salaries of the nurses, that all came from our prevention research dollars.
The nurses work for your center?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.